I have my cake over there, so don't step on it, Jay. I haven't eaten it yet. So, is anyone else surprised by the snow this morning? I was. I got up and I noticed, oh no, my car is now engulfed in snow, and I'm going to have to spend an extra 20 minutes getting it out. And we're also selling our house, so it also means I have to shovel the driveway and shovel the sidewalk and shovel and put a whole bunch of, make it look pretty and make sure that no one slips on the way to the open house that we're supposed to be having this afternoon. So it took me an extra long time, actually, to get ready this morning. But, yeah, it was a surprise. So, I think everyone's here. Let's just open up in prayer. So, Father, we ask you to come into this message today. We ask you to come into our hearts because we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We want to have a closer relationship with you. We want to know you on a deeper level. So, Father, we just ask that you enter our hearts today. Give us revelation on honor. Tell us what we need to hear so that we could see your face clearly and so that we could love you and expel that love to our friends, our family, the city. We just love you, Father. As we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. So today, this month of March, we're going to be talking a series about honor. So today, I'm just going to give you a little bit of an introduction first on what honor is. Because I was thinking last night about what, or actually the past whole week, how do you explain honor? Like, how do you tell someone what honor is? That there's actually many definitions of honor, many ways that honor is given or received, or I honor this person, or I am honored. And it was really difficult for me to try to narrow it down. So my wife makes fun of me for this, but I usually go to the dictionary to find out what honor is, and I start off a lot of my sermons with definitions. So today we shall define honor. Give me one second here. There we go. So the many definitions: honor, high respect as for worth, merit, or rank, to be held in honor. High public esteem, fame, glory. He has earned a position of honor. Usually, honors evidence as a special ceremony, decoration, scroll, or title of high rank, dignity, or distinction. Political honors, military honors. A deferential title of respect, especially for judges, mayors, usually preceded by his, hers, yours, etc. And finally, a source of credit, distinction. So I really like the second last one, definition and title of respect, especially for judges and mayors, because it's very particular. It's very in your face that you're supposed to honor this person. A judge, you call him Your Honor. Anyone know the official title of our Prime Minister? He is the Right Honorable Stephen Harper. What about our Governor General? Our Governor General is His Excellency, the Right Honorable David Johnson. And those are the titles that are appended to the beginning of their names to show that they are in a place of honor, that we are to honor them, the judges, those people of high rank in our governmental system. And to give honor, we could go to the extent of doing a whole ceremony, similar to like a, well, to get when these guys, the governor general or prime minister, when they were given their rank, they had this whole little ceremony with marching bands and little guns shooting and a whole bunch of stuff. You could go to that, or even you could even to the lower level, when you give honor to, say, a graduating class, you have a graduation, and that is there to honor the class that went through the whole high school or university or college, and that's how we give them honor. So those are for those more obvious things, but it doesn't always have to be that grand or that in your face. Because the Bible calls us to honor our father and our mother. And I don't know about you guys, but my father does not have a right honorable in front of his name. He doesn't even have an honorable in front of his name. But yet, we're still supposed to honor them. We're supposed to also honor our leaders and our elders. And of course, they don't always have right honorable in front of their name. Like today is a perfect example because we honored our two of our pastors that helped us through our first 4 years of our church. We gave Jill lovely flowers. We expressed our gratitude. Thank you, Jill, for and Kevin, I don't know where you went, but thank you for helping us go through to build up this church to make it where we're at, and to not only that, to train myself and the other leaders to carry on where you've kind of left us, I guess. Not abandoned us, but left us, helped us carry on your vision that you started with Jay and Verrill. So we're supposed to honor our leaders, and we're honoring also our pastors, Jay and Verrill. Very good pastors, I must say, because I've known quite a few pastors. I've been to a few churches in my life, not as much as some other people, but they are amazing pastors because they have the heart for the church. They have a heart for us as a church. They don't just sit there and do the paperwork, make sure the things get done, make sure the church is open in the morning, do the little sermon, go home. They have a heart for you guys, for us. They want us to succeed in reaching God and seeing His face. And they want us to go out into the city and show the world how much God loves them. And they're supporting us on that. And that's, I know it's a lot of, don't get a big head, guys, but we honor you guys for that. And other leaders and elders of, not even just church leaders, church elders, you're supposed to honor your boss at work. Team leaders or whatever, managers, anyone that you fall under authority for, even though you may not like the person, you have to honor them. And you could really see that in the military. In the military, they have specific ranks, to show where they fall in the chain of command. And you could when a person walks by. You see their rank. You may not even know who that person is, but you know the rank that they're carrying on their shoulder or on their sleeve. And even if you know the guy and you don't like him, if they're a high-ranking officer, you're supposed to, depending on their title, you're supposed to stand to attention when they walk by. The higher ones, you're supposed to stand to attention and salute as they walk by, even though you don't even know that person. You're supposed to honor their position and where they're at, honor the work that they took to get to where they're at. And not that I'm saying I don't like you guys, but I honor you even though I like you. So we have to honor our leaders and our elders. And the Bible also calls us to honor each other. And I know, like, say, Jason Major, wherever he is, he doesn't have the right honorable Jason Nicholas Major in front of his name. But that doesn't sound good, actually. You should probably take a look into doing that, right honorable Jason Nicholas Major. But no, even though he doesn't have that, I honor him because a few months ago, there was a play that happened, The Rock is Born, and he was the playwright and the visionary for that. And because of that, he had that stature of authority during that, and I was an actor in the play. I had to honor his position and follow him where his vision is going. But that's just in that spot. As a friend, I still honor him. He's done stuff in his life that I haven't gone through, and that makes him earn my respect, and other people too. There's a lot of you guys, I haven't gone through everything, and I'm sure none of us has gone through everything that everyone's gone through. Other people have, and they've gone through it, and they've been able to persevere and overcome it. And because of that, they have earned our respect for that, and we honor them for that. So we're supposed to honor each other. So what I've been talking about honor for a while, And I've showed you the definitions, but yet still, I am still kind of unsure about what honor is. And I say to honor these people and stuff like that, but what? How do you honor someone? And that's a question that I was pondering while I was trying to talk about this message. There's many different ways that you could honor someone. I mean, you could do a ceremony. You could say, Jay Galler, you are honored as a pastor, and here is an award for that. But you don't have to. You could just respect that person. Respect whomever that you're honoring. You hold them in reverence for what they have accomplished. You look up to them for what they accomplished. You recognize the authority that they have and whatever means that they have it. You recognize that authority and you don't try to overstep your bounds on that. You can honor someone just by complimenting them. Man, you look good. Look at you. You're dressed all spiffy. That you're honoring that person for, they look good. I don't know. Their clothes or their apparel or just any compliments that you give, you're honoring that person. And there's many other ways that one can honor someone. So, in the Bible, they use the word honor. And as we saw, there's many definitions of honor. Those are taken from many dictionaries. In the Bible, they don't have actually just one word. They have many words for what we call honor because there are many different ways you can honor someone. And I'm just going to quickly go through them. I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. I tried. I looked it up. And I tried to do that, the proper Hebrew accent, and it just failed. So I'm not even going to say the word. That word, glory, honor, riches, abundance. And that one, be heavy, be weighty, be rich, be grievous, adorn, glorify, be high, to swell, splendor, majesty, vigor, beauty, splendor, glory, boasting. These are all good words. You could fit all of that into one word, honor. I wish that we had multiple words for that because that, I mean, it's just so expensive. So there are actually more in the Bible, and I could have went through all of them, but I didn't want to bore you. And I didn't want to, I stopped at 6 to try to pronounce them, and I just thought, no, let's not do it. The Greek, on the other hand, the New Testament written in Greek, so the Hebrew, a lot in the Old Testament and other languages, but the Greek has two words for honor. To estimate, fix the value, for the value of something belonging to oneself, also meaning to honor, to have honor, revere, venerate. Oh, there it is, venerate. And the other one, to value. A valuing by which a price is fixed, and that's just as in like a bracket, not a. For the price itself, or b, for the price paid or received for the person or thing bought or sold. So basically, and this kind of good summarizes it, when you have something that you hold in honor, or a person you have in honor, that person or thing has value, and that's expressed in these definitions. When you honor something, that thing has value. When you honor a person, that person has value in your life. When you are honored, you have value to people. And that's basically what honor is. Oh, there's one more. Honor to belonging, which belongs or shown to, anyways, just a definition. So, that is honor. And there'll be other sermons about what honor is. But today, I want to go about honor a different way. Now, I mentioned we honor our peers, honor our elders, we honor our governmental leaders, that says it in the Bible, honor those people. You can honor God, you can honor God's presence. But if you think of it the other way, in the Bible, it shows that God also honors us. We receive God's honor. So everything that I've said to you about honoring someone else, all of that God has towards us. God honors us. And that's That's a thing of beauty because God is the creator of the universe. He is the Most High. He's out there. He's everywhere. And yet, he honors us as humans, for who we are, his creation. He honors us. So, how does he honor us? How does he honor us, Mike? Well, God honors those who humble themselves. God honors those who humble themselves. All of you, this is from 1 Peter, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So God honors us when we're humbled. He gives grace to the humble. He lifts you up in due time. He will lift you up and he will exalt you when you're humble. So why, other than those reasons, why should we be humble? Because when we are not humble, we try to do things fully on our own. We believe that we got here all because of ourselves. You ever heard of that the term self-made man or self-made millionaire? You know, that's trying to take credit for everything that happened to us. It's all just because of us. And look at me, I did it, and it's all me. It's all me without any help. So when we are not humbled, we are less likely to be led. We are less likely to be guided by God. But when we are humbled, we understand our place in the universe. We understand that God is Lord. We understand that God is our judge. See, we look to him for guidance. We look to God for understanding. When we are humbled, we bow down and praise and worship him who created us. And in doing so, because of that, he gives us the grace. He lifts us up in due time. When we humble ourselves, and not that I'm saying that we can't do things for ourselves, but self-made man or self-made millionaire, they did not get that way just because of themselves. Even if they did not believe in God or did not follow Jesus, a self-made man does not come into blessing only because of himself, because God loves them as well, just like us. God's hand is still in there somewhere doing things, blessing them. You know, it is not just because of us and what we've done that brought us up where we are. It's because of God's blessing. And we have to recognize that. And that's where we fall and be humble. And in doing so, he will honor us. He will honor us. And he will exalt us and raise us up, like the first one, lift you up in due time. So you are humbled, but he will still, at the due time, at the right time, at the correct time, he will lift you up. And he will show, look at my son or daughter. Look at what they have, and look what I have done for them. And they will shine. And we will shine when we are humbled. God honors those who experience humiliation for his name's sake. Now, that's a big word, humiliation. It's not as extreme always as being humiliated, but that's what they say in the Bible. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. When we stand up for him, for God, and blatantly show the world that we love him, and we worship and praise him, but in doing so, we get ridiculed for our beliefs, we get pushed aside as being closed-minded, as being religious freaks, as being religious do-gooders with no firm grasp on reality. I don't know if you ever heard of these things or have experienced this sort of discrimination from when you express your faith. I know I have at times, and I'm sure you guys may have at times too. And if you didn't, maybe it's the fear of that sort of humiliation, the fear of that, that prevents you from expressing who you really are, expressing who you follow, the fear of being ridiculed and put down. See, we could get laughed at, we could get finger-pointed, and we could even get persecuted. Not necessarily to the extent that Paul persecuted the early church before he got struck down by Jesus. Why do you persecute me? Not necessarily to that extent, but to the extent of just losing relationships with your friends or your family, being passed over for opportunities, for promotions. That sort of persecution, because we are who we are, because we follow who we follow. See, what would people in your workplace or your friends, your circles, what would they think if they knew who you are and the extent of your faith or your belief? What would you think that they would do? A lot of people have that fear that they will get pushed aside or laughed at. I can tell you what people at my work will do if I told them that I was a Jesus follower, a Jesus freak. They didn't do anything. I've told them already. They know my faith. They know my belief. They know that I follow God. I don't go to the extent of disrupting my work by, you know, playing my guitar at work or whatever. But they know my stand and my morals and my values and where they come from. And they don't persecute me. They don't laugh at me. And I feel, in fact, that they respect me even more because I do have these values and I do follow a God, the God. And even though they don't even realize it, I think inside of them they know that they have that respect because of following the truth. But if I were humiliated, that is just a small time in, like, we're only here for a short time. We are humiliated. But if we are, we get that double portion. God honors us because we stood up for what we believed. God honors us. The creator of the universe honors us because we're humiliated for a little bit. The creator honors us, gives us the double portion. I like to think double portion, that's like double portion of blessing. Or when you go to heaven, my mansion that's waiting for me in heaven will be bigger. I will have a bigger pool, and I will have, you know, two foosball tables. Not just one. Two. Double portion. So if you can think of it that way, that he will give it to you, and that lasts for eternity. Those foosball tables, they won't get broken. They're heavenly foosball tables. I don't know if you know foosball. It's like a soccer thing for board game. Anyways, so pool table. You can say pool table, billiard table. So yeah, they won't get broken. That'll last for eternity, and that's only because I've been humiliated for a short period of time here on earth. Just because a couple of my friends might ridicule me because, oh, you follow God. Oh, look at that Jesus freak over there. Oh, you have no, you're closed-minded to science or whatever. Because of that, I still got that double portion, which is good. And I could be called honorable in heaven. I might have a title. The Right Honorable Mike Razzo is entering his royal chambers of his big mansion. I'll be honored. Think of that. So, God... Next point. God honors those who... that's wrong. God honors those who serve him. We serve him, but God honors those who serve him. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's Jesus speaking, by the way. Of course. So, and this is a pretty easy one. I don't really need to go into a large explanation about how we serve him. One way you could, there's many ways you could serve him. One way you could serve him, my father-in-law, the Right Honorable Reverend Bruce Lovelace, my wife's dad. He has a saying. He's not a right honorable, but he has a saying. He is a reverend. He has a saying that he's been teaching his kids since they were young, which has grown onto our family. And the saying is very eloquent. It says, listen to God and do what he says. That's it. You go up to him for advice, he'll say, listen to God, do what he says. But I don't know what to do. Listen to God, do what he says. But I don't know which university to take. Listen, do. Serve God, basically. Whatever God tells you, do it. Right. Very easy motto. And that is one way to serve him, is by opening your ears so that you could hear him. Because there's two parts to that. It's to open your ears so that you could hear him. Because a lot of people, they can listen to God and do what he says, but they don't actually listen to him. They think they listen to him. They think they might hear what he's saying. They think God wants me to buy this really lovely TV here. I think that's what he says, because I'm going to go buy it. You may not actually be listening to God. You might be, thinking, putting your own heart into what you think God is saying. But you have to actually open your ears and listen to God. That's the first part, listen. The second part is do what she says, which may not necessarily be the easiest thing at times, especially when you're relying on faith, especially when you have, when there is a step of faith. You have to be bold, but in the end, after confirmation of prophecies and all that stuff, once you know that God is speaking to you, do what he says. So that's one way we can serve him. Another way we can serve him is through our ministry, whatever God has called us to do in our lives, whether it be helping the homeless, going to the followers mission, feeding people on the streets, helping the pregnancy care center, healing people on the streets, just healing like the mayor guy that you were talking about, the first mayor of Toronto, or even just praying for people, or just taking care of people. It doesn't even have to be a religious thing, like healing people. You could actually just take care of people. If God has called you to, giving you a heart for children or orphans or the people at the pregnancy care centers, the one who have distress in their lives that are looking to have a baby, just to caring for them is not, that's not a religious thing. You don't have to necessarily be in their face saying, I'm caring for you because Jesus told me to, and I'm doing because of Jesus' hands. And anyways, you don't necessarily have to be that blandly. You just have to love them and just be there for them, for whoever, whatever ministry. Or you could have a church ministry like worship or prophecy or intercession. Whatever ministry that you have, that's how you serve God. You're following what God has called you to do. See, the world may not honor those who serve God, as we were talking about in the previous topic about humiliation. The world may not honor those who serve God, but he will surely honor us. He will honor those who serve him. God honors those who honor him. The Lord declares, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. So, how do we honor God? Well, you have to have a firm grasp of what honor is, I guess. Not really, you just need to... There's many different ways that you can honor God, and I'm sure you could think of tons of ways. One way is just to treat his name with respect. Do not take his name in vain. And you could say the name God, Jesus, Lord, not throwing those around, not using them in a curse, not just, oh my God, that sort of stuff. That has nothing to do with God when you're saying that as an exclamation. That's just saying it out loud. That is saying his name in vain. But it's not even just his name. It's his image. Whenever you talk about God or anything that he represents, and if you do so in a way that lessens who he actually is in your mind or in the mind of the people that you're speaking to, that's taking his name in vain. His name is not just God, his name. His name is all that he represents. when in the olden times, when you go to somewhere, to a castle, in the name of someone else, I'm here in the name of King whatever, I'm not taking his name, I'm there in his place. When I go in someone's name, I am there in that person's place. I am representing all of that, what that person is that I'm taking the name of. Got that? That was kind of weird. But I am taking his name. So it's not just his name, it's his full image, everything that he represents. If you say anything to anyone that lessens that, if you joke around, I mean, God is fun, so you can still joke around with him, but if you do so in a way that lowers who God is, that's taking his name in vain. If you do so, I don't want to get too deep into that. It's pretty easy. Another way to honor him is to give God the glory that is due to him. And that goes back to the self-made man, safe-made millionaire, one day I might be. That, if you're saying that, and you're saying that it's all because of me, you're not giving God the credit for things that he's done in your life. You have to give God the credit. You have to praise and worship him. The glory is his. He is in our lives. His hand is in everything that we do. And we have to recognize that and give him the glory. We have to thank him for that. We must give all the praise and worship that he deserves. See, we start off our service every Sunday with praise and worship, which a lot of churches do. And it's not just singing. We're not just sitting here looking at this projector screen, saying the words. We're supposed to be sitting here and praising God for who he is and worshiping him for who he is. Not just because of what he's done in our lives, but we're supposed to praise and worship him because of who he is, because he is God. And because he deserves our praise and worship. And when we praise and worship him, we honor him because of that. And that the praise and worship should not just end when the worship leader plays that final note. You should be praising and worshiping him in everything that you do. You should be washing the dishes, saying, "Oh God, I praise and worship you." Not necessarily out loud, but everything that you do has to be for God. Everything that you do in the overall scheme has to be for God, because you praise and worship him. It doesn't have to be saying it while you're singing. You can't sing while you do the dishes. It doesn't make the time go faster. Although if you sing with my wife, I can't sing too much, so I just let her sing. And finally, 12:30, finally, God honors those who love him. Last point. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God honors us. God honors us when we love him with all our heart. God delights in those who delight in him and honor those who honor him, as we saw in the previous point. So, what does it mean, really, to love him with all your heart? Now, I want you to just for a second think about how you love God. Now, we all love God. That's a big assumption, but we all love God here. Think about what that means to you. What does that mean specifically to you? What does that mean to you when you say that you love God? What does that mean? I'll give you a minute or a few seconds just to think of that. What does it mean when you say that you love God? Because it's easy to say, I love God. Oh yes, I do. It's easy to say, but what does that really mean? Like, does that mean that you're looking for you yearn for a closer relationship with him? You learn to get to know him on a deeper level? You learn to see his face? Does it mean that you're looking to always please him? Because that could mean that you love God. Does it mean that, do you talk to him and do you listen as well, intently? Do you go to him in the good times as well as the bad? But do you go to him? Some people just go to God when they are in trouble or when they need help. When life is good, they're happy to just sail through it. But if you really love him, he's there all the time for you. You have to talk to him and listen. Open your ears, because he does. When you pray, when you're just praying to him and praying to him and praying to him, he doesn't just sit there and just listen and listen. He responds to your prayers. He responds to your love. You just have to open your ears. If you don't hear that, you open your ears. Stop sending things up and just listen for what's coming down. Take time in his presence, and don't in your prayer time, don't just sit there, pray this, pray this, pray this, pray this, pray this. Stop and listen to what he's saying. That's a conversation. When you're praying to God, it's a conversation, not a one-way thing. It's a conversation. And that's what you do with someone that you love. You don't just talk in their face. You listen to what they have to say. Now, I'm not trying to say people here, you guys don't love God, but I just want you to reflect on what it means to love him, what it means when you love him. These are just different ways that I thought of, ways that when I say I love God, these are ways that I think of. And we may have different ways. Another way is that does your mind wander to his presence or image? Does that make you smile? You know, when you're in love with someone, with your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your kids, your mind just, you're doing something, your mind suddenly goes to their face, and that just brings a smile to your day. I love my kids, and when I think of them, it makes me smile. And does your heart break when you see something that you know will break God's heart? When you see the poor, the helpless there, knowing that God wants to reach out to them, knowing that God wants to help them, knowing that God's heart is breaking, does your heart break as well? And do you just yearn to spend time with God? These are ways that we show that we love him with all of our heart, not just as a passing Sunday thing. We love God, we love Jesus with all of our heart. Because if you do, if you love God, which I'm sure you do, God will rescue you. He'll rescue you from the depths of whatever you're going through. He will be there for you. He'll be the person that you could lean on. He will protect you. I'm sure that you don't know the extent of the protection that he provides to us. We love God, and we're safe under his umbrella. We may let other things in on our own, but we're still safe under his umbrella, and he's protecting us. Imagine what would happen if he was not protecting us. Our lives could be more. It could be worse. We could have a lot more work to do to keep ourselves safe and happy. God protects us when we love him. He acknowledges our name. He will call upon us. He will answer us. He will deliver us, and he will honor us if we love God, which we do. I love God. So honor. God honors us. In the Bible, there's other ways that God shows to honor us. He honors us through when we're hurt. But these are just some points and some ways for you to think about how God gives us the honor, how God lifts us up, how the creator of the universe, the Almighty, honors us. It's like saying, the Right Honorable Stephen Harper honors me. If you think of it that way, you know, that might, because that's a bit more tangible. He's a Prime Minister of Canada, yet he's honoring me. He's shaking my hand. I'm not shaking his hand. He's shaking my hand. God honors us in the same way, even more. So, I want to just take a take a minute here just to think about the last few points about how we love God and how we honor God in our own lives specifically. So I gave you a minute earlier to think about it, and you could take some more time now to think about it as well, about how we love God. But I know that there's a burning and a yearning inside us to love him more, to think, how can I love you more? What can I do to show you and the world that I love you, that I follow you? What can we do so that God can honor us even more? It might sound a bit selfish. What can we do so God can honor us more? But God deserves all of that honor. God deserves all of that love that we have for him. Even more so than we could think of. He is there in our lives. He loves all of us. That's easy to say. But if you think about what I was talking about with loving him, he loves that. He loves us in that same way. It's almost like he smiles when he thinks of us. If you think about how a father or mother loves their children, how they would protect them no matter what, how they want to see those kids succeed in life, God has that same love for us as well. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to help us. So just open your heart right now and just ask God, if you need to, ask him, what can I do to love you more? What can I do to show the world that I love you? Ask him what is there in my life that I could change, so that I could have a closer relationship with you. What can I change in my life? Because things may be going wrong for people in different areas of their lives. But really, one of the things that we can change, that we certainly can change, is ourselves. There might be external forces happening to us, but we know one thing we could do is change ourselves. So what can we do to change? What can we change in ourselves to love you more? To honor you, Father, because you deserve all of that honor. And as you're asking this, open your ears so that you can hear him. It may not be words. It may not be sentences. Could just be a feeling that this is not right, or a feeling that I should be doing this, or a feeling that my heart breaks every time I see that person asking for money, and I know God wants to do something about it. God wants to help that family down the street. What can I do to help out? Listen to what he says to you. Listen to God. Step two, do what he says. Listen to God and do what he says. It may be difficult. It may be hard. But God is there. If he's telling you to do that, he's going to support you the whole way. He's there to support you on your journey, on your whatever you're doing. He's there for you to lean on him when you get tired. The main point is just do it. This is what he's asking you to do. And you know what? He honors us. As we were talking about, he honors us. No matter what, he loves us. He loves you as a person, as an individual. It's like he has a picture of you by yourself on his dresser. And he looks at you and he smiles. That's how much he loves us. And I stress, not just as a group, but as a person, as an individual. So if anyone needs prayer on what to do, how to do it, to open their ears, then we're here to pray for you. We could do it up here at the front. We could do it at your seats. We could do it later after church. We could do it at a cell group. Many people pray for you. But just ask for prayer if you need that help, if you need guidance. We will not give you the guidance, but we will open your ears so that you can hear God and give you, and he can give you that guidance. He knows what to do. I sure don't. But I'll pray that you receive that guidance. So if anyone wants prayer now, you come up to the front and we'll pray for you. But I just urge you to take this time this week to think about what can you do to love God more, to show him that you honor him, to show that you honor his presence. Take that time to think.
Allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to speak to people. And as his presence gets thicker in this place.